Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing broadcast again. We missed last Sunday, and I am so glad to be back again this Sunday. We're having storms, some light changes that have knocked me out on my computer, but we'll jump in again and talk to you about the good things of the Lord. Thank you for your prayer this week and for your wondering where I was. First time in 3 years that we've had any time off, and I didn't choose it, but this past week I had time to do some reflection, some realignment, and some refocusing, and we've done over 800 videos so far. And this is the first time we've missed any. Thank you for your love toward us. It was expressed in many different ways, and thank you for that. What happened to me was a challenge of health, and God has been very good to us in our divine health living style, and we celebrate health and well-being. Week ago Thursday, I had a severe dizzy spell, and my doctor thought it might be my heart, so he sent me to the hospital. Well, they kept me 3 days. I think they were trying to rent the room or something, but they stretched out the test, and I had free food. Well, not free. Somebody paid for it. The end result was I didn't have a heart attack, thank you, Jesus, but I did have some questions about why the dizziness, and they found some things are going to give me some diet and tell me I need to exercise more, all those things. So it was good. Now, on one of the positive sides, I had an encounter with my day nurse. And she was there with me for 3 days, you know, through the day. And she asked me, what do you do for a living? You know, I said, well, I pastored here in town. And got into the spiritual discussion. And she admitted that she was coming back to God, wanted to come back to church. And in many cases, that's what people mean when they say coming back to church. They're trying to get back to God. So we had some good encounters. I believe I planted some seed that God will take and grow up in that young woman. As I left, she took me out, as they do, in the wheelchair. I wasn't infirm, but that's the hospital. And I encouraged her that God would never stop loving her, and that she needed to just turn to him because he's there waiting and loving. So on the positive side, I had an opportunity to testify, minister, and encourage someone that I would never have met before. Did God do that to me so I would do it? That's not my theology. I don't play around with God playing tricks on people. But the enemy moves in, God comes in as a flood with his wisdom, righteousness, with his healing, with his restoration. I mentioned to this nurse that I've prayed for thousands of people and seen thousands of healings over the years. Well, I've been doing this 60 years. And she was somewhat amazed. And, you know, they always have that question mark in their mind. So that was an interesting encounter. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. We're going to do five sessions this next week on freedom. I've done some videos on freedom I want you to tune into. And tell your neighbor, tell your friend, tell your enemy. Pass it on. It's a great series on freedom. We'll do that in the morning sessions this coming week. early in the morning. They come on actually at 4 o'clock, but I do that for the East Coast crowd because that's 7 o'clock for them, trying to catch their coffee time at their kitchen table. So it's going to be a great, great week. And I'm glad to be back in the saddle, had some encounters with the Lord and refocused on some things I'm going to do through the video ministry, trying to increase or add to what God's speaking to me about. I tuned into Kent Christmas this morning. If you don't know who he is, he's on YouTube. He's a pastor from the South, great prophet. He's also on the Victory channel quite a bit with Flashpoint, but he had a prophetic word today about our future, about the nation, and about the upcoming and very close at hand of the Lord to come in and slap some things around that change. You cannot mock, you cannot downgrade the Lord. He is still God. He's still in control. No matter how much the politicians hoot and toot, no matter how much the godless and the anti-God, anti-church, anti-home, anti-righteous lifestyle, no matter how long and how much they scream and holler, God will have the last say in this thing. And the prophecy was powerful. Tune it in if you haven't listened to Kent Christmas. He is a very anointed man of God. He brought something out that struck my spirit, and he was talking about the virgin church arising. And then he likened it to Mary the Virgin having the seed of God and birthing Christ to the earth. So God has a virgin church. Now, what he meant by that was a church that hasn't been polluted by worldliness, selling out to compromise, having sin right in the midst of some of the works of the church, or at least in the body of the church, and sadly enough in some leadership positions, because they have allowed the flesh and the devil to rule. Now, the virgin church are anyone, not just buildings and people, you know, like denominations, but anyone who has established their motive. I mean, they focus their motive, I should say, their attention on living for Christ, pure, and walking by faith, and being obedient to truth, and embracing righteousness, and longing for his glory to shine and shed and flow and cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That virgin church has a birthing. We've been pregnant with a birthing for a long time, and it's going to be birthed into the earth. That was the prophetic word that Kent Christmas said. Struck my spirit. I wanted to pass it on to you that I believe in short order that God's going to come in and put his hand down on the unrighteous deeds of men. Now, God loves people, but if they cling and hold on to unrighteousness, God will judge unrighteousness and ungodly acts. He will judge that. And if they can, you know, if they insist on staying there, they'll have the judgment upon them too. It's nothing that we rejoice in. It's nothing that we long for. We love people and we want God's grace on all men. Scripture says he would that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So I encourage you to be encouraged. Amen. I just love that thought about the birthing of the out of the virgin church. And I'm not going to try to give you that prophecy, but if you're interested or curious, tune over to it. And it's a great word. 1 Peter 1:7 came to me today about the trying of our faith being more precious than gold. And I did go through a trial of my faith this last week. Not is Jesus Lord, or has he forsaken me, or, you know, why am I going through this? Poor me, God's mean. No, none of that childish stuff. But to refocus on purpose, am I doing what I need to be doing now, God? Readjusting. I was accused years ago by a wonderful man of God, like 45 years ago. He said, "George, you'd be faithful to a dead horse." Well, I'd come to him and as a young upstart trying to find my way into what God had. And he was pastoring one of the poppin' churches in town, big, powerful church. We had breakfast together occasionally. I said, I was telling him, what am I going to do? He said, "George, you'd be faithful to a dead horse." Well, I could be, and I had been, and I tend to be that way. Just hang in there, keep pressing forward, don't give up. Well, sometimes you have to say, all right, Lord, am I holding on to the wrong thing, or am I going the right direction? What's the voice for the day? What's the manna for today? Put it that way. Because the manna was fresh every day, and the Word of God comes fresh every day. I thought I was going to be an evangelist all my life. I couldn't see myself doing anything else but going church to church, preaching revival meetings, salvation and healing, salvation and healing. Well, that wasn't God's plan. He popped in my life when I was in my early 20s and began to drop in the gifts of the Spirit. All of a sudden, I began to prophesy. I began to see in the Spirit. I began to have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and gifts of prophecy. Didn't know how to handle them until had some elders discipline me, elder brothers and sisters that knew how to flow in that, begin to discipline me and train me. Well, I had a whole nother life. God called me into pastoring, and then he's called me into apostolic, prophetic eldership. I'm a father in the house now. So it's a wonderful life if you're on the right track at the right time. So this past week was a trying of my faith that is more precious than gold. Now, a stack of gold on my desk, as high as I could reach. Whoa, boy, would that satisfy the soul. I could reach over and rub it, chip off something, go buy something with it, cash it in or whatever. A security blanket, pile of gold. Wow. But doesn't satisfy the Spirit, because God said that's not more precious than the trying of your faith. Why? Because faith never, you never outgrow your faith life. Your faith life is your bloodstream. Faith life is your umbilical cord to God. Amen. That's pretty important. You can cut off money and gold and everything else, but faith in God never fails and can never fail, because everything operates by faith or trust and believing. So the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. David, King David, had a whole pile of it in his backyard, silver and gold so much that he told the people to stop giving. Well, his son Solomon took that gold and silver and built a fabulous temple with it. One of the greatest things going at that age. So silver and gold have a purpose in this earth for a lot of reasons, but not for your spiritual journey. Not that we can have it. Sometimes we have it. Sometimes we may not have as much as we thought we needed. Comes and goes sometimes. But your faith never fails. Your faith never fails. I've often said, humorously, I think, I ripped the book of James out of my Bible, where it talks about, the trials, how you're going to embrace them and love them because they're good for you. And lo and behold, it grows back in. Well, Jesus even said, in this life, you will have persecution, will have trials. Then I begin to think about the Psalms 91 and Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, we're beside the babbling brook, the green meadow, the oak tree with the shade, the blanket, picnic basket, and a portable radio playing some sweet sound. What a wonderful afternoon that is. That's my Christian life forever. Never change. Uh-oh, along comes Psalms 91. Arrows, shadow of death, trials, devils trying to get us. He brings us through. So God is a God in the meadow, and God is a God to you in the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I would anoint just my head with oil. You see, he has a preparation in the time of trial. In the time of trial. So James says, count your trials as a precious experience. They're good for you. They build something in you that nothing else can build. Now, that's insulting. Why? I can have faith. I don't need trials. I just have the word, or, you know, I'll get a scripture and I'll confess it 100 times. Okay. And then suddenly you live out that scripture and have to really believe it works in the, you know, with a shoe leather on the road. Suddenly you're believing for your health or your finances or your marriage or your children to come home. You contend for that. You contend for it. Well, that's the life of faith, isn't it? Amen. So I had some refocusing this week. And not that I was unfocused, but I want to make sure I'm on focus and on target. So there's some things that I'm wanting to do with the video ministry, some increase and some upgrades and a message that I want to see developed a little different than I've been doing. We started out 3 years ago by Come Walk With Me, and it was inspired just to take a walk and talk about God. We did that for quite a few months. And then I've ended up in my office in a little different posture. Winter come around and a little easier to be here in the warm room. But the message continues. I still want to be an encouragement to you, but I believe God's put a message and a revelation in me that I'm going to begin to unfold over these next days and weeks. Just listening to the Lord. I talk about angels and dreams. I talk about going into the supernatural world of God and having journeys into the Spirit and seeing and hearing. Those are the things I want to open up to you and give some insight and some release in the area of the supernatural hand of God upon this earth. The church has failed in the supernatural side. We've had entertainment. I mean, some of the greatest, you know, productions are going on inside church buildings now, with the lights and the smoke and the, you know, the flashes of light and the dark rooms, and it becomes almost a copy of the of the club that our young people go to when they're not in church. Many of them do. And they're drawn in by the flash and the lights and so forth. But they're missing the supernatural. They're missing the God that melts the heart and forms the vision and challenges the life and produces the kingdom on earth and breaks the devil's hold and raises up people in the army of God to raise the dead and heal the sick. So the church goes on triumphant. That's what God's bringing in this hour. And the challenge we've been through in this last year and a half is preparing us. We're crying out almost like the slaves in Egypt. They cried out for reason of their taskmaster. Lord, send to deliver. Now, here's the good news. God's way ahead of the curve. He didn't wake up a couple months ago and say, uh-oh, what's happening down there? I better see what's... He always prepares ahead of time. Moses was prepared ahead of time a long way before the trouble came. Amen. Before the deliverance came. Trouble was there, but God prepared to deliver. And he has prepared not just a deliverer, but the deliverance through the men and women of God. President Trump, I believe, is still in God's target scope. But the church will go on past what God has for him to do. That's the target you and I are after, is the ongoing church of Jesus Christ, full and developed and mature and loving one another and walking. Well, the scripture says, they shall know you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. So let's work at that, loving one another. Amen. Boy, it's a good day to be alive in Christ. And I bless you and thank you for tuning in today on this Sunday evening. And I'll look for you in the morning sessions as we continue to speak what God has put in our spirits. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this team and company of people that gather with me often. Some, Lord, every day, some once or twice a week, and others pop in when they can, but they have joined our faith together to see the Church of Jesus Christ go forward. I bless them. I bless them with God's peace and God's righteous direction in their life, in Jesus' name. Say, don't forget, subscribe if you haven't done it. Thumbs up, like, comment, share, all those things really give some input and some power behind this whole internet mystery. I'm glad we have this vehicle, so let's learn how to use it. Amen. Until we see you in the morning, we bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance shine through your face to everyone around.